Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, where he go, where he go, where he go. It's a new time of era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Playing for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision, seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another India Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. This is Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And our topics that we're going to go in tonight are going to be police killed. Second topic will be All Lives Matter, and the third topic will just be miscellaneous issues. Basically, these are the same topics I had up for last week, and the previous week before last week, because last week I had taken off, basically, for the winding down of my vacation time. I had to have it. I just had to have it. But the week before that, we were having technical difficulties with the airing of the show. And the topics that I now have are those topics that were going to be then. But all we have is time. That's one thing I always do say or have come to say. That is, if we have nothing else, we do have time. And having said that concerning time, just last week as well, we had our Dollhouse anniversary celebration, and that is meaning that Dollhouse Radio, Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio, is now in its seventh year and going right along. God bless for that. And also, I also wanted to put out here that I had a birthday also during that week wherein we had the technical difficulties. My birthday was the 28th of July. It has passed, and a lot of my Facebook friends had given me a lot of birthday shout-outs, and based upon those birthday shout-outs, I figured I would write something to them in response to the birthday greetings. And I want to read what I had written into the show, which is what I was going to do previously. Anyway, I had written here that, yes, I enjoyed the coming in of my 59th year of existence and hope to enjoy the remainder of my 59th year on into my 60th year of existence. Am I asking too much? Well, suffice the day. Well, suffice the day in which we are in. I know I do. About a week, then I wrote here, about a week before departing my 58th year of existence, someone had asked me, how does it feel being 58? I had to tell them, I really don't feel any different at 58 than when I was 28. I guess I'm blessed to feel thus. I guess this is also a reason I sometimes forget how old I am. Then, too, I'm someone who, in my mid-20s, reaching the age of 30, was looking grim. It was looking like I wasn't going to make it. Thus, reaching 30 was a major miracle in my life. It was midway in my 30th year, on an occasion, it dawned on me that, hey, I'm still alive. I, with the mindset thus, and upon the coming of my 31st year of existence, I realized that year was but a given, and I was one to be grateful for the giving, from whencever it was given unto me. So every other year of existence that I'm given or allowed to have, I accept as something given. I've never been one to disparage what's been given me. With that said, I want to thank all of you who took the time to express birthday wishes onto me. Then, too, I want to thank those of you, too, who may have been too busy to do likewise, but extended a mental birthday wish onto me. I had to say it like that because I don't know what's going on, but as of late, I don't write out birthday greetings as I once used to. I mean, I was in such, I guess, the habit. Whenever one of my Facebook friends' birthday would come about, you know, I was writing down, you know, happy birthday, you know, and then some more words. I forget what those words were right now, neither here nor there, but it's somewhere. But anyway, yes, I would write them, happy birthday, wishing that you enjoy your day and all the days to come. I would write that out all the time with whomever of my Facebook friend's birthday it was. And sometimes, let me tell you, it's true, sometimes I might have four or five friends who have birthdays on that particular day. And at that time, those times, I would write each of them that birthday greeting. But I don't know, something has happened since our last year, or I guess last year, not long ago. I just fell out of it. I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, I kind of figure that some kind of change is taking place. These kind of things do happen, as I'm aware, and when it does happen, it indicates to me that a change is taking place. What that change is, I don't know. But more so than not, whatever the change is, it has been a good change that has come about whenever I find that I have stopped doing something or have begun to do something that I hadn't been doing before or that I was doing before. Changes. But I just say God bless the changes. But at any rate, even though now I may not write out the birthday greetings, I give them a mental birthday greeting, basically. You know, it's not that I totally disregard their birthdays. No, I don't. But I give them a mental, you know, birthday greeting. That's what I do. But like I said, it's interesting that all of a sudden I just fell out of that somehow, some kind of strange funk. Okay, so moving right along, I have been wanting to read this into the show also, something concerning religion, but more so something concerning, how can I put it, well, I'll just read here what I have because it's, and to me it was something funny. Well, to me it was something funny, and I figured that I'd read it into the show because as I've come to know, laughter is healthy. Okay, this is what I got here. It pertains to religion. These two guys would always be debating some religious text at the place where I work. They didn't work in the area where I work, but because I work in the mail room and taking mail hither and thither, I would pass by their work area, and they'd be engaged in a serious religious discussion. But anyway, this is what I had written here concerning this situation, okay? I wrote, first off, here's something funny. Well, to me it was funny. these two guys here where I'm employed would be in a heated discussion whenever I'd pass their work area. The discussion would be over something written in the Bible. They both had a different opinion about what was actually meant. I happen to have learned that one of the two had gotten put in prison for a parole violation. Upon seeing the other guy, I was in the process of telling him I was sorry to hear about his coworker's mishap. He cut me off and responded with, "No, no, no, brother. He's right where God wants him." Now, I mean, to me, that was funny. I mean, to hear him say that. Because, I mean, again, I got to read that again. Because, as I said, I was about ready, you know, I was ready to apologize to him or, you know, offer him my condolences in a sense that his colleague is no longer there for him and for the two of them to engage in, you know, discussion. Because talking helps time go in the workplace, whatever. And God bless, they do have time to talk in the workplace. So, like I said, I was ready to, you know, offer him, well, words of consolation. And he cut me off and said, "No, no, no, brother. He's right where God wants him." but I mean, really, can you picture that? I mean, really, this guy, they're both religious, heavily religious. And this one guy said, and I guess he really felt he could have been playing, but he going to tell me, "No, he is right where God wants him," which was in prison. Now, come on. God, based upon biblical text, don't want nobody in prison. Because even in the sections of Jesus, they talk about how he comes to set the captive free, you know, to loose his chains and things of that nature. So, I mean, but that was just funny to me. I mean, really. I mean, and I still laugh at that when I think about that, the way he said, "No, no, no, brother. Don't feel bad. He's right where God wants him, in prison." But anyway, just saying, concerning that brother who was locked up over that parole violation, he is now out of prison. I happen to have seen him just the other day, and I didn't go into all the details about, you know, that situation, but I let him know that it was good to see him, and it was good to know that he is out of that situation of confinement. So, having gone there with that, before going into our initial issues, before I get into the main topic, which will be police kills, I wanted to have read into the show the Baltimore situation with that prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, the one who immediately charged those officers in the Freddie Gray killing, well, in Freddie Gray's death, killing, murder, whatever you want to call it. I mean, in a situation like that, call it anything you want to, but the fact remains that Freddie Gray is no longer with us because of the actions or inactions, or both those actions and inactions, of those Baltimore police who had him in custody. The article that I have here says that, it says Freddie Gray case charges dropped against remaining officers. You know, some officers was a hung jury and things of that nature, and some were just outright acquitted, no wrongdoing. And then based upon those issues, the prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, decided to just drop the charges for the other officers who were to be prosecuted. Anyway, what I got here says that Baltimore prosecutors on Wednesday dropped all charges against the three remaining officers facing trial in connection with Freddie Gray's death. Gray's death became a symbol of the black community's mistrust of police and triggered days of protests and riots in Baltimore. The city became a focal point of the Black Lives Matter movement and the nationwide debate on excessive police force. And the article goes further here to say that, these are some quotes by some guy named Gene Ryan, president of the Baltimore Fraternal Order Police. He said, "Justice has been done." That is after he heard that the charges were dropped against those remaining officers. He said, "Justice has been done." Well, I'm just reading the article here, but what about Freddie Gray? Where was his justice? I mean, really, he's gone. He's deceased. And why? Why is he deceased? What crime did he commit? They say because he looked at a police officer too long. That's reminiscent of Emmett Till having recklessly eyeballed some white woman down there in that area of Mississippi where he was killed. Out MFing rages. But like they say, the more things change, the more they remain the same. But in my opinion, that's only because nothing has changed. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to stop right there because we're going to have to go into our first music break. And we're going to hear a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. This is Lydia Caesar, Lifted, and we'll be right back.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya, yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch. Loving like, ooh. He know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love. Oh, no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I'm loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now it's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Okay, welcome back to Andy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. That was Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. Okay, and right now I'm on that article or the situation of all charges having been dropped on the remaining officers who were to have faced charges in the death of Freddie Gray. Okay, what I have here further is that this article says, but the city's top prosecutor didn't quite see it that way. That is going back to what the this guy, Gene Ryan, president of the Baltimore Fraternal Order of Police, had said concerning justice has been done. But again, Marilyn Mosby, the Baltimore state's attorney, didn't see it that way. It says here that Mosby said the decision was agonizing, and she slammed the way police handled their investigation into the case. The article goes further to say that in a fiery address to reporters, Mosby said she still believes Gray's death was a homicide. But now she said she realizes the criminal justice system needs real substantive reform to hold officers accountable. She went further to say that we could try this case 100 times and cases just like it, and we would still end up with the same result. Mosby said further that Mosby said the case showed an inherent bias that is a direct result of when police themselves. She went further to say that there were individual police officers that were witnesses to the case, yet were part of the investigative team. Interrogations that were conducted without asking the most poignant questions. Lead detectives that were completely uncooperative and started a counter-investigation to disprove the state's case. She said, okay, And the article goes further to say that Marilyn Mosby says, I'm anti-police brutality. That was in reference to someone claiming, police people even claiming, and other people claiming that she was anti-police. But she wanted to set the record straight by saying, I'm anti-police brutality. I can get with that because that's my mindset as well. I'm not anti-police, but I am anti-police brutality and anti-police misconduct. Yes, I am. Because, again, these people are entrusted, well, with our safety. And understand what I just said. They are entrusted with our safety. Or, in other words, their job and the oath in which they take is supposed to keep citizens safe, even from other citizens. But anyway, so the article goes further to say that she says that I'm anti-police brutality, and I need not remind you that the only loss and the greatest loss and all of this was that of Freddie Gray's life. The article says, when Mosby first took on Gray's case, some praised how swiftly she acted. Others, however, said there wasn't enough evidence to convict the officers. The article goes further to say that Gray's stepfather, Richard Sheepley, said that he supported Mosby. We are pissed about the decision of the trials and the outcome of all the trials that have happened here in the city. We are very proud of the prosecutors who handled the case and did their best to their ability. We stand behind Marilyn and her prosecuting team, and my family is proud to have them represent us. The article goes further to say that standing at a podium with six officers who were charged, the police union chief called Mosby's comments outrageous and uncalled for and simply untrue. Evidence, he said, showed there was no wrongdoing. The state's attorney simply could not accept the evidence that was presented, this guy said, Ryan, the head of the Patrolmen's Benevolence Association or whatever that organization is. He went further to say that she had her own agenda. Investigators concluded Gray's death was an accident, said Ivan Bates, an attorney representing one of the officers. The thing that bothers me is this. We always attack criminal justice system. We have to let the criminal justice system speak for itself. It gets it right, he said. Baltimore Mayor Stephen Rawlings Blake told CNN that the prosecutor's decision to drop charges made sense, given how the judge had ruled in the trials of the other three officers. I think Mosby made a wise decision because the judge has found in the past that the cases were thin. And the article goes further to say that Police Commissioner Kevin Davis, who took over for the former commissioner Anthony Bass in October, said ethical, experienced, and talented detectives were on the case, and a local newspaper reporter was given access to the investigation. Davis said the decision to drop the remaining cases was a wise and thoughtful one. He also said the relationship with Mosby's office was inherently strong and will remain so. I mean, really outrageous. Not one of those cops was found guilty of the killing of Freddie Gray or the death of Freddie Gray. Outrageous. Just simply outrageous. But also, even something more. I mean, just saying in Milwaukee, I happen to have turned on the TV today, and I was seeing that in Milwaukee, another police shooting, more so a police shooting, a person has taken place. But however, in this situation, they are saying that the individual did have a gun. They're even saying that based upon the video that they have from the police officer who shot this other individual, they're saying that the video showed this guy had a gun. But remember, the police always saying something that ain't true. I'm a prime example of that, how they lied on me. But anyway, I have that article here as well. I got an article here that says a Milwaukee policeman whose fatal shooting of a suspect sparked overnight rioting in the U.S. Midwestern city appeared to have acted lawfully after the man turned toward him with a gun in his hand, Police Chief Edward Flynn said on Sunday. Wisconsin Governor Walker activated the state's National Guard in case of more violence in response to the death of Seville K. Smith, 23, who was shot while trying to flee from an officer who had stopped his car on Saturday. So this is the latest victim, this guy, Seville K. Smith, 23 years old. And already the police are putting out their spin. We haven't seen no evidence as of yet. And the police were saying that he did have a gun. Like in most cases, he or she did have a gun or something shiny in their hand. But more is to be revealed. And to me, it's just interesting that the body camera this time was on, but yet thus far, so far, the public isn't being allowed to see the actual video of what had happened. I mean, based upon the riots that have taken place, or even before then, I mean, to prevent this kind of situation blowing up like this, the video should have been shown instantly. Because in a real sense, it's public property. I mean, our tax dollars pay for that equipment. So in a real sense, I mean, the public pays for it, so therefore it ought to be public property. But that's another issue, right? There we go into the legalities or the illegalities of this kind of situation. But anyway, so thus far, so far, we are knowing that the National Guard has been activated. If the National Guard is in Milwaukee on the streets, that's not known of yet. That has been said as of yet. But TBS, to be seen what happens. Okay. And let's see here. What I had written down from what I had initially heard earlier in the day, it also says that this time it was an African-American police person who did the shooting. And, you know, listening to reports about this shooting, I was watching CNN, and they had that FBI analyst Tom Fuentes, whatever his name is, whenever one of these shootings take place or whenever some kind of a terrorist activity happens, they have him up on CNN supposedly explaining what happened or what didn't happen or why something should have happened and things of that nature. But anyway, I was kind of struck when he had said, in this case, he says already, based upon what the police are saying, that it was a justifiable shooting. That's what this guy is saying, just based upon what the police have said. And this guy went further to say that in this case, it was an African-American who killed it. Well, back up. This guy, Tom Fluente, is saying that it was an African-American police person who killed an African-American. And he's saying, and still they want to protest, as if just because an African-American cop shot an African-American, there's no cause to protest. What kind of nonsense is that? But again, that's the thinking that some people have, which is so superficial, so superficial. But there could be more into that, but no, I'm going to move right along. And as I said before, it is said that the body camera video will not be revealed until various police and or government agencies see it first. And how long that will take, who knows? Who knows? And it said further that the video shows the individual shot did have a gun and or is believed he had a gun based on police who saw the video. But then now I also heard it said that some of them didn't really see the video. They seen a still photo of the video showing the victim. I'm saying victim. They want to say suspect. I'm saying victim that showed the victim with a gun. See, I mean, differences in wording changes everything, doesn't it? They know that. And I got something here that also says that community and religious leaders are calling for peace. Always the religious leaders calling for peace. I guess that's their job, right? Religious leaders calling for peace, because Jesus says peace, right? I guess so. But then again, where is the peace coming from the police? I mean, police go to church also, and then again, more so than not, I won't even go there, but more so than not, police, as I said, they do go to church. They do believe in God or in a God, whatever his or her name might be, but yet it don't stop them from doing what they do. And I have something here that says further that, yes, in the aftermath of the shooting, it prompted rioting and looting, and fires were set. And something else also, the police chief I had seen, he was on, he was being, not necessarily interviewed, but he was at the podium taking questions from reporters and also putting out information about this case. And something else that I have here was wherein he has said that concerning the National Guard, he has said the National Guard have been activated, but they haven't as of yet been deployed into the city of Milwaukee, that area where this contention is taking place. He has said that concerning the National Guard and the possibility of them being activated or to prevent them being activated, he had warned black parents. I'm saying warned, yes. He said, if you love your son, if you love your daughter, text them, pull them by the ears, and get them home. I mean, really. I mean, what about the right to protest? He's saying, I guess this guy is saying at this point, you don't have that right. Because if you do protest, then the National Guard is going to come and shut down your protest. That right there goes against what? First Amendment, a First Amendment right. The right to peacefully assemble for redress of grievances, and this is a serious grievance, again. Well, it's just to be seen what happens. We might have another Ferguson, Missouri on our hands. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Indeed, we will. Okay, and then again, also in reference to this situation, I was in a, well, not even a really Facebook conversation, because I just said one or two things, and then I let it go, because some people, you just can't argue with them. I guess that's what people say about me. You can't argue with James, but yes, you can, because I'm reasonable. I consider myself to be reasonable. I know I don't know everything. I do know that no one knows everything. And 9 times out of 10, the person who claims that he or she knows everything don't know nothing. That's philosophic in a real sense. So, I mean, yes, I'm even one to say that I don't know a damn thing. I mean, I don't know nothing until I know it, in a real sense. I mean, I can opinionate all day long, but those are just opinions. But anyway, when I had seen this article on Facebook, I had written there, here we go again. I wrote, here we go again, next week or tomorrow or today even. Who of us will be next in headline news or in our Facebook timelines? And then a Facebook friend of mine had responded by saying, they'd better figure out where they're going to. Well, she said this in reference to the rioting that had taken place. She said they'd better find out where they're going to buy gas and pick up snacks, since they burned this station to the ground. Stupid. Cops are probably already scrubbing film and video trying to ID the culprits. When that goes down, it'll be all over. But the shouting, by the time a judge gets done setting bail, nobody can pay, followed by conviction and sentencing. And then I had responded to her by writing, well, her name is Gloria. I put out her name. She probably wouldn't mind that. I hope she's listening to the show, and she might call in. Anyway, I hope we're still there. Yes, as I said, I hope she's listening and might call in to the show. But anyway, I had responded by saying, how do you reconcile your statement with the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, his words of understanding the process of rioting as riots are the language of the unheard? We can imagine the police. Then I wrote further that we can imagine the police in this area aren't hearing what's happening in other areas of our country. Our words and speeches still fall on deaf ears and blind eyes as far as policing agencies and those who support them are concerned. As for me, I can only but wonder how that police person who has caused all this is now feeling. What's his mindset at this time? Would we think he'd feel his shooting of this individual was justified and that the resultant actions are unwarranted? That was my response and question. And she responded by saying, James, how would the suspect reconcile my statement with the words of Dr. King? She said, how would the suspect reconcile my statement, her statement, with the words of Dr. King? She says further, as far as that police person who has caused all this, the cop made a traffic stop. The rest developed due to the reaction the suspects had to be stopped. Subsequent to the armed suspect fleeing and being shot, the community reacted and accomplished nothing other than destroying a gas station and committing acts of other property destruction. She said further, I doubt seriously you could find one person who was complicit in the rioting who gave 2 seconds of thought to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. She went further to say, I'd also venture to inquire as to how many of the street actors were registered voters who actually voted in local elections or otherwise involved themselves in local government affairs. That would probably provide you the answers you seek and fodder for a healthy conversation. How indeed did these people reconcile? Just a second. She said, how indeed did these people reconcile their actions against what Dr. King said? I would have a whole lot to say to that, but right now we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go into a music break because it's currently 5 after the hour, and right now we're going to hear a song from Mila J, her song entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Andy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Mila J., her song entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in and want to talk, you must press 1. Because if you don't press 1, you will only be in listening mode. So continue listening if you are listening, and let us continue and move right along. So right now I was on the situation of the situation that's going on in Milwaukee with the most recent police killing of an African-American, and I was reading some Facebook comments from myself and some of my Facebook friends. We have differences, yes we do, but that's a good thing. Anyway, in response to what one of my Facebook friends has said, another Facebook friend had written, I wonder why the facts you cite are facts to you, given the facts that so many police facts have turned out to be lies. Can we wait for the facts, please? That's what another Facebook friend has said. But evidently, this other Facebook friend who had written that long statement, and which I would have so much to say, but I got to move right along. I might go back to her on Facebook and say some more things to her, because there's much to be said about what she had said. But anyway, so moving right along, something else I have here. I had meant to read this into the show the other week, let me put it that way. It says here that new law makes police cam footage off limits to public. Imagine that. And like I just said, those body cameras, they come out of our tax dollars. As we know, police salaries, so we're told, come out of our tax dollars. Imagine that. And they don't want to show us, you know, the footage that we paid for them to have in these kind of situations, you know, so that everything will be on the up and up, so that we can see what they saw and what happened, and then what is currently going on in Milwaukee, more so than not, wouldn't be going on if the shooting was so justified. But still, I mean, justify shooting, I mean, let me move right along. Anyway, what I have here says that this happened in Raleigh, North Carolina, no doubt. They passed this law in Raleigh, North Carolina. Some Governor Pat McCrory signed House Bill 972 into law, making police cam footage no longer public record. The article goes further to say, motivated by the controversial police officer-involved shooting in Louisiana, Minnesota, and the terror in Texas that unfolded after a Black Lives Matter march, Governor Pat McCrory signed the body cam bill into law. McCrory signed the bill on Monday afternoon, about 2 weeks ago, I guess that must have been. The new law details who can view and obtain footage from body and dashboard camera. The footage is no longer public record. But I'm thinking this only applies to North Carolina. I don't think Minnesota or most of Milwaukee has this law as of yet. But believe me, they'll probably try to get it in there. So this article goes further to say that if you are in the video, either your image or your audio, you can request the file. The request could be denied, however, and then you'll have to take the fight to Supreme Court. McCrory says technology can mislead and misinform. Interesting. My goal is to protect those who protect us. The governor believes the legislation is fair for everyone. It's better to have rules and guidelines with all this technology than no rules and guidelines whatsoever, he said. The ACLU of North Carolina calls the legislation shameful. Body cameras should be a tool to make law enforcement more transparent and accountable to the communities they serve. But this shameful law will make it nearly impossible to achieve those goals, says Susan Birdsong, policy counsel for the ACLU of North Carolina. People who are filmed by police body cameras should not have to spend time and money to go to court in order to see that footage. These barriers are significant, and we expect them to drastically reduce any potential this technology had to make law enforcement more accountable to community members. The governor's office will not comment on the criticism, the article says. It says further that the law hasn't gone into effect as of yet, but it will go into effect October 1st. And says here further that Wake County Sheriff Donnie Harrison is backing McCrory's move. He says what law enforcement encounters in the field is not for everyone's eyes. A lot of groups think we should show everything from start to finish, and we just can't do it, he said. They think we're trying to hide something, and that's not what it is. But if we go into a house for a domestic assault, and if the wife has been assaulted, had been unclothed, we don't want that on YouTube. We don't want that out there. See that? They cherry pick. And it goes, that was funny. I mean, I read that, but as outrageous. McCrory took another step Monday to protest officers, to protect officers. He established the Blue Alert System, which is to help catch anyone who intends on attacking or harming a public safety official. President Obama had signed that law into effect a few weeks back, maybe a month or two ago. And something else as well. Then we're going to go on into the police killed situation. We might remember the Eric Garner situation and the guy who filmed the death of Eric Garner. Well, I have an article here that I have had since I haven't been on the show in a while. Like I said, it's been about 2 weeks since the show has aired. Anyway, this article here says that Ramsey Orta, who filmed Eric Garner's death, well, it's headline. It says Ramsey Orta, who filmed Eric Garner's death, to serve 4 years in jail. Imagine that. In New York City, Ramsey Orta, who filmed the police killing of Eric Garner, is slated to go to jail for 4 years, making him the only person at the scene of Eric Garner's killing who will serve jail time. On Wednesday, Orta took a plea deal on weapons and drug charges. He says he's been repeatedly arrested and harassed by cops since he filmed the fatal police chokehold nearly 2 years ago. You see that? And now, really, we're supposed to believe the cops that that this guy had a gun. But, well, right now, I mean, everything is up in the air. We don't know what happened. And based upon what the cops say, we still don't know what happened. Honestly. Outrage, because they lie more than criminals lie in a real sense. The police do. Anyway, going into cops killed or police killed, I have this article here. It says attacks on police inspired by or directed by militant groups. Can we believe that? Well, the article says that police shootings of black men in Louisiana and Minnesota were followed by calls from black militant groups and others to seek vengeance against officers. Almost immediately, several officers were attacked, including the five slain by a sniper in Dallas. But you know what? Just saying before I read further, I mean, it's known by those who do know that our media basically is in support of police no matter what they do. I mean, sometimes they also will report the truth once the truth has been discovered, and other news agencies, you know, some underground agency may start reporting it first, and because that underground agency had reported it, it takes traction. And then the major news media outlets, I guess then they have to get on board and then, you know, tell what the truth actually was, as opposed to the lies that they were told by the police when the situation first happened. Outrageous. It's almost as if, what, investigative reporting is now dead? It don't happen anymore by these major news outlets? Oh, well. Anyway, the article here goes further to say that authorities are now investigating whether the Dallas gunman was directed by groups such as African American Defense League or the New Black Panther Party, or merely emboldened by them. Police have been tight-lipped about exactly what they're investigating and what they've uncovered so far. Although Micah Johnson was connected to several militant groups on social media, it's unclear if he was merely a follower or a more active participant. Similar questions have been raised by international terrorist organizations such as the Islamic State Group. How is the network encouraging and directing attacks? Is it a coordinated effort, or are the attacks simply a byproduct of the hate speech the groups espouse on social media? The article goes further to say that Ryan Lentz, online editor and senior writer at the Southern Poverty Law Center, said the number of black separatist groups nearly doubled in 2015, mirroring a similar increase among white hate groups that has taken place as police killings make frequent headlines. Still, many people who become radicalized do so without direct ties to any group. Instead, they surf the web and grow their anger in private, this guy Lentz has said. The article goes further to say that we are in a polarized political climate right now where the us versus them mentality has started to reign supreme. Law enforcement agencies across the U.S. are on guard for threats after the police killings and the Dallas attack. Protesters view the police slayings as further evidence of the law enforcement abuse that has energized the Black Lives Matter movement, which was fueled by the 2014 killing of Michael Brown by an officer in Ferguson, Missouri. And the article goes further to say that Mawuli, that's some guy's name, Malui Davis, an African-American attorney and activist in Atlanta, said the unrest continues because there has been no serious dialogue about issues of race and policing. Davis and his associates insist on peaceful protests as a means to an end, and most protests across the U.S. have gone on without a hint of violence. But until that discussion happens, Davis said he fears we're going to continue to see this kind of tragic incident like the Dallas attack. Oh, well, that's the situation, I mean, right now, where we are, in regards to police being killed. I mean, like has been said before, oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. And these police killings that just happen as they happen, they will continue to happen until, both situations are most unfortunate. I mean, nothing is good about violence. Basically, violence is violence. But I see that I have a caller who's calling in. Let me see if I could bring him or her on the line and see what they may have to say. No, I'm wrong there. That's not a caller. I thought I was getting lucky there and somebody was calling in to speak their mind about what's going on. But no. But as I was saying, going back into what I'm saying, you know, there's nothing good about violence I don't really like saying on either side, because in a real sense, there is no side. Because in a real sense, I mean, like police, I mean, it's not their job to kill people. It's their job to, a part of their job is to apprehend criminals and to investigate suspects. Their job is not to kill criminals per se. Their job is to apprehend criminals and then let the law take its course. You know, the judicial proceedings and or the judicial process, let that take its course once the criminal who has been identified as being a criminal. And then as for a person suspected of having done something, well, the police person is supposed to, you know, approach that person and then investigate by having a conversation, asking, all right, where you come, you know, things of that nature. But evidently, this is not what is happening. These killings it's just outrageous. I mean, there's no why to it. It really isn't. There is no why to it. It's coming from somewhere. It's coming from some sick place. I mean, some mental ill area in that person's head. And in a real sense, who can figure that out? Who can figure it out? I know I can't. Because, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but then again, that's, I guess, I'm not trying to, you know, whitewash this. But then again, I do have understanding, I'll put it that way. And then again, I am one who is able to discern things once they are presented to me and or once I observe whatever I'm observing. I can go from point A to point B and then C. And or I could even go from point A to Z to know that, hey, this isn't correct. or to know that, well, this was correct, either or. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. Well, anyway, well, right now we're going to have to stop and go into another music break because it's currently 25 after the hour. And we're going to have a song now, another song from Mila J entitled Don't, again from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go. We'll be right back.
Don't play with it, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Gonna let somebody saw next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fed up. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately, you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, just listen.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So down.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard another song from Mila J entitled Don't from the CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you call in to talk, do press 1. If you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So do press 1 if you want to talk. So back on to this issue of a police killing, a police killed. That stems from the situation that just happened a few weeks back in Dallas, Texas, and the one that just happened, that not just happened, but again 2 weeks back in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But also another one, about two other ones have taken place as well. I mean, I was reading per the internet, I forget where it was right now, and I didn't pull the article up today, but I had read it earlier in the week about some police person having been killed. Matter of fact, I think it was a deputy sheriff, and then the actual sheriff. The deputy sheriff had been killed outright, and then the deputy sheriff, he was only wounded, but he survived. And I had found it interesting in reading that particular article that the person's race wasn't given, you know, as to if he or she were black or white. And I'm thinking in this case, being that the person's ethnicity wasn't given, more than likely it was a Caucasian person who shot the cop. Because if it had not been, a Caucasian person and it was a black person, it would have been immediately said that it was a black person, and more than likely it would have been attributed to Black Lives Matter. Or if not Black Lives Matter per se, but due to the agitation that Black Lives Matter proponents are the message that Black Lives Matter is putting out, you know, about police killings. And then again, the police want to misconstrue the point by saying that Black Lives Matter rhetoric is anti-police. But again, like Marilyn Mosby has said, she's not anti-police, she's anti-police corruption or anti-police brutality. That's the same situation with the Black Lives Matter movement and its people. They are not anti-police, as is being said by the media. They are anti-police brutality and anti-police corruption. But they don't want to see it that way because, I guess, they want to continue killing black people. I guess we could say not all police, but it's just that racist element within the police apparatus. I mean, from the cop on the beat who walks through neighborhoods to the higher ups, police chief, police captain, and then again we even go higher than that, or outside the police ranks, we go into the political arena. The mayor, the city councilman or woman, I mean, it's all there. It's all connected. And I'm trying to wonder here where am I gonna go now with this issue here. Okay, I had written something a few weeks back. This was in reference to the Dallas killings, the Dallas shooter. I had read an article where it was saying that it said that the Dallas killer's sister appears to condone violence against police. And I had written this. I mean, I was like done. I was caught up when I had written this here. I had said it's contradictory or just convoluted. But I wrote this out. I said we ought to begin to agree and say we don't condone violence against police. After all, that's the line police use, but kill black people more than any other citizenry in the country. No, we have never condoned police violence against African Americans. I'm saying this is what police say. Police say no, we have never condoned police violence against African Americans. They say this, but isn't it of interest or note that police who do perpetuate violence against African Americans are never consigned to jail time for abusing or murdering us? And then I had written, no, I don't condone violence against those police persons who murder African Americans without cause. And then I wrote further, would the God many of you believe in condone these murders or condemn these murderers? I guess it's felt and or known that there is a special place in heaven or hell for these individuals. Then I wrote, let me stop, take a breath from Facebook. No, let me stop and take a break from Facebook. I'm getting to be too flippant, basically because this issue is ridiculous. And then my Facebook friend Stacy Patton, she has something to write concerning that guy Castile, the guy who was killed in Minnesota, and his girlfriend's car while she put it on Facebook, was filming the situation. I forget his name already. It's unfortunate. Well, yes, I have forgotten his name. So many. Anyway, my Facebook friend Dr. Stacy Patton had written this in response to questions being put to the girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, of the guy who was killed. She says, "This is so damn disgusting. Less than 48 hours after watching her boyfriend get shot to death in front of her daughter, reporters have the gall to ask her to speak on the death of those Dallas cops. CNN did the same shit to the mother of Alton Sterling's son. But let's see if the family members of those cops are put in front of the cameras at the height of their shock and asked if they extend their condolences and sympathy to Castile and Sterling families. Black people are always expected to divert their attention away from the dead bodies at our feet, away from our trauma and grief and righteous rage, to center white lives and blue lives as we bury our own and try to figure out how the hell we're going to protect ourselves and those we love from being next. The almost reflexive demand that we share their grief, that we forgive, that we condemn the wrong done to them, is about protecting whiteness and America as a whole. This is yet another burden for Black America, thus writes Dr. Stacey Patton. And then another Facebook friend of mine has said, my point exactly, why I said what I said in my post yesterday. I am yet to see one of these officers or family members apologize or mourn or sympathize with the victims. And the reason why we don't see it is because they feel justified, and if they're as if they've never done anything wrong, they don't care. Heartless, she said. And then moving right along still, I want to go further into still police killed. This right here is based upon something I have seen on CNN with that clown, that comedian. I call him a clown first. That comedian, D.L. Hughley, because I don't find his comedy, his humor, I don't find it funny. But anyway, on this occasion, he wasn't being funny, because they were asking him questions in the aftermath of the Alton Sterling killing there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Castel Philando there in Milwaukee, Minnesota. And basically, he was damn near in tears while he was trying to explain what he was trying to explain. But one thing he did say is that, well, we are being exterminated. And one of my Facebook friends had agreed with that we were being exterminated. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Well, that's another issue. Anyway, what I had written in response to what this D.L. Hughley was saying, I had said I agree with the complicity in murder statement, because also D.L. Hughley was saying that those cops who are there and do nothing, that they are in fact complicit in the murder or in the action that does take place. Even if it ends up in murder, they are still complicit, being that they don't come forward and tell the truth. But anyway, as I said, I had written, I agree with the complicity in murder statement. It's interesting that the police will never envision it that way, that is, their complicity in murder. Yet there are laws stating if you see a crime being committed and do nothing to prevent it, you too are liable to prosecution. But another Facebook friend of mine, Ed, he has called into the show previously. He's studied in law. He says misprison of a felony is an obsolete law. In fact, judges are loath to allow such a prosecution, not saying that they do not happen. And then I had to look up the word misprison. What misprison means is that's the word misprison. I don't even know how that word relates to this, but it does. We have to go with what's written. Anyway, it says misprison definition: the deliberate. Let me see here. Oh yes, the deliberate concealment of one's knowledge of a treasonable act or a felony. That's in sense A. And then sense B says neglect or wrong performance of official duty. Concealment of treason or felony by one who is not a participant in the treason or felony. That's misprison. And according to Ed, that law is no longer relevant or pertinent. Don't know why. But anyway, I had responded to that by saying, how about the law of being with someone during the commission of a crime, although one had no part in the crime committed? And then he did say that would be an accessory. So if cops are present when another cop kills somebody unjustifiably, he's an accessory to the act. But again, they're not penalized, none of them. Not even the one who committed the act is penalized. And it goes further to say, well, I said then that cops aren't or can't be held to the same statute, can they? Or can they? And then Ed said, no one is above the law. Then I replied by saying, so it ought to be. At times, it does seem as if the law was made by and for criminals. I remember reading of laws made to keep slaves slaves. It's my thinking that all slave owners were criminals. Politicians who were slave owners conceived the Fugitive Slave Bill. Based upon my conception of slave owners being criminals, was not the Fugitive Slave Law a law made by criminals? Any law that enslaves outside, and this is what Ed has said. He said that any law that enslaves a person outside the prison gate is per se unconstitutional. Your argument is the same as those asserting a right to reparations for slavery. Before Johnny Cochran died, we were so close to obtaining reparations. That's an idea, a thought, an opinion. That's what I'm saying in reference to what Ed had just said. Johnny Cochran and Professor Charles Ogletree of Harvard Law School were putting the screws to state and federal legislators prior to his death. One of the saddest moments in the history for me. That's what my friend Ed has said. Then I went further and said the Constitution was written by criminals. The non-criminals in the U.S. government were those who put together the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments hundreds of years later. You'll say the framers, I'm saying hundreds of years later because slavery was introduced into this country with black people in 1619. And as we know, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments weren't brought about until the latter part of the 1800s, 1865 and 1866. So anyway, I said that the Constitution, I repeat, the Constitution was written by criminals. The non-criminals in the U.S. government were those who put together the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments hundreds of years later. You'll say the framers of the Constitution weren't criminals. Well, what were the framers of the Constitution in the British mind? In other words, you know, the framers of the Constitution, what were they in the mind of the people whom they were fighting against, which happened to have been the British? To the British, yes, the founding fathers were criminals. If they had caught them, they would have been hung. They would have been hung, just like that. And then I had said something, some crazy thinking, right? And then my friend Ed has said, Patrick Henry happens to be one of my favorite framers. He was known for his oratory skills and placed his life on the line during the Revolutionary War. And then he gave me a link to the enactment, to a reenactment of a speech that was given. And then Ed has said, apply the substance of this speech to recent deaths. And then I have responded to that by saying, he was a favorite of mine too, until I learned he was a slave owner, therefore a criminal. I relished in his words of, gentlemen, why stand we here idle? This is what Patrick Henry has said during the Revolutionary War coming into being. They weren't fighting yet, but they were still talking about fighting. Patrick Henry has said, gentlemen, why stand we here idle? Our brethren are already in the field. He said further, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Then I say, yes, I agree. His words were true and had a universal application as with the rest of his compatriots. But his words, thoughts, and actions like those of his compatriots fell short when contemplating African Americans, or just contemplating Africans, period, because they were still going over there in Africa and robbing people from their native land. And now it's being known, just not knowing, thinking about that particular point in time, and then again, I guess some media presentation that we might have looked at, such as Roots. I mean, it would appear that they were kidnapping, you know, grown men and women, but it turns out no, they were kidnapping children, 9, 10, 15-year-old children. From, let's say, age 9 to 15-year-old children, stealing the children of Africa from their parents and making them slaves over here in this country and throughout the West Indies and South America. But that's another issue. Yes, it is. That's another issue. And then Ed has said further, let us not forget when the U.S. Constitution was drafted, it only contained articles and was known as the Articles of Confederation. Collectively, Patrick Henry and James Madison fought for individual rights and had 10 amendments passed, which became known as the Bill of Rights. If it weren't for these men, we wouldn't be talking about Miranda, illegal search and seizure, preemption, separation of church and state, and states' rights. I said, certainly, Ed, I understand all that. I also understand the men who promulgated those ideas didn't extend them to black people. We suffered from that neglect and are still suffering from the same neglect. In a real sense, I mean, still concerning police killings, I mean, history is, in fact, connected. How can I put it? The past is, in fact, connected to the present. And in a real sense, we can only hope that the past and the present isn't connected to the future based upon the way things are going right now. I mean, in my opinion, there has to be a break there, or more so, there has to be a change here, there, or here for the past and the present, well, more so for the past in which we lived and the present in which we're living, for that past and this present to not extend into our future, as it has been doing thus far so far. There has to be a break there. But the question is, how is that break to be? What's to be done to halt or to create that break in a timeline, so to speak? I mean, still, I mean, thus far so far, we have had, I mean, this could be a situation wherein a situation is coming into being wherein a break in this timeline, in this trajectory, might be halted. Because we've had what's the guy's name? Micah Xavier Johnson. He did what he did. And then we have this other guy, what was his name? Gavin Long. He did what he did in Texas and then in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then recently we had this girl, this woman, Corrin Gaines. I'm sure we heard about her. We had this woman refusing to be, as she put it, kidnapped by police when they had accosted her for whatever reason they had accosted her for. I mean, the papers tell us that she had a cardboard tag for a license plate, but she had that, but still, she was saying that in a real sense, her car would have been up to date if this and that and this other thing hadn't taken place. Somehow, some way, whatever happened. And then, well, the result was she basically was resisting arrest. And really, I mean, we don't really know what happened, but in the end, we do know what happened. She ended up being killed by the police, and the words are, what happened because she had a weapon, that she pointed a weapon at the police. But then again, as we know, other people, non-blacks, have more so whites, Caucasians, have had guns and/or weapons and have pointed them at police, or were in the process of standing up to the police. And these people weren't just shot outright; they were talked to until finally, I mean, the person either surrendered or they found some way to get the weapon out of the person's hand. But in Corrin Gaines' situation, this wasn't done. And the thing is, she was in her own home. And the way the papers put it, she had barricaded herself in her apartment. I mean, to hear that word, barricaded herself in her apartment, that sounds like what? That she had refrigerators up against the door, a couch behind the refrigerator, or, you know, a couch in front of the refrigerator, and maybe a dresser pushed up against the couch and the refrigerator against the door. But no, She wasn't barricaded like that. But like, let the papers tell it, the media tell it, although we're looking at a video of the situation. We don't see Corrine standing in her living room, but we see a police person standing right outside her door. There's no barricade there, but yet Corrine Gaines barricaded inside her apartment. But yet they shot her and shot her son, a toddler, basically a toddler, shot him too. And the way the story goes, some say that he ran out of the closet and then therefore was shot. But weapon? No. Where? What? How? A child? They say he's five. He's 5 year old. 5 years old. To me, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's toddler status, isn't it? Or well, I'm just saying and I'm asking. But yet they shot him too. I mean, come on. I mean, wow. I mean, just outrageous. Outrageous. But the question is, what's to be done about this? I mean, some people, unfortunately, again, some people like the two I had mentioned and then Corrine Gaines, they were fed up. And we got to know, this is 2015. And if things don't change, well, more so not just if things don't change, but like if policing and the policing culture doesn't change, it's only inevitable that there's going to be more of these things happening, more. And it's just so unfortunate because they don't have to be. They do not have to be. I mean, we are a people. We are people, human beings, who are supposedly possessed of the capability to reason. But yet, as we see, that capability to reason don't work all the time, evidently. I know mine does. My capability to reason functions well. Because I'm not that kind of person to just go outside and just slap somebody just because I want to slap somebody. No, I'm not like that. But at the same time, you do have some black people who are like that. And by the same token, you have those police personnel who have that same kind of mindset. But yet also they have that kind of mindset, and then again it's also infected with racism. The question is, again, what's to be done? Okay, I'm trying to see now just what I'm going to put forth here now. But I think, first off, we're going to go into a music break and then come back with just a few moments left. So right now we're going to have a song from again, Mila J, her song entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. We'll be right back.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Yeah, I got you. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'd be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother was about shit, and now you're gonna wish your time chasing me, nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me, nigga, please. I don't wanna hear about it, you can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Now you wishing you was with me, living life so true. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit.
so stupid. And it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless. And now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being bothered over me. Nigga, please. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we just heard the song from Mila J entitled Friends. And still I'm on the issue of police killed. Okay. But you know what? In my thinking also, I mean, there today are a plethora of African-American lawyers, and it's just beyond me as to why they have not yet got together, wherein they, knowing so much about the law, can't get together enough to change some of these policing policies and laws. I mean, they could argue it out in the Supreme Court or something, I guess. That's how the system of school desegregation came about. But anyway, I have very little time left, but I wanted to, I'm going to read this into the show. It's in reference to, I had written talk of the Second Amendment in the wake of police killing of two African Americans who had permits to have weapons. I had written here, I'm now hearing people mostly on Facebook talking about the Second Amendment in the aftermath of two black Americans being killed by police, and they happen to have had a firearm on their person at the time of their deaths. They had a firearm on their person, not because they were in the process of committing a crime. Okay, I'm going to have to stop there because we only have a few seconds left, and I'm going to read that into the show next week. But in the meantime, I'm going to go into our closing out song, which is from our producer, India Morrell, her song entitled You Don't Deserve Me. So here we go, and this is Urban Society signing off. Till next week. We'll hear us then. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you.